Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
It's been a busy week for the state and local politics. We just heard about something that happened at the Boston City Council level today. Lots else going on, and it is only Wednesday. It is that kind of political season. Acting Mayor Kim Janey of the City of Boston hit the ground running this week. Jeff Turco is headed to the State House to represent the 19th Suffolk District. That happened this week. And a new poll shows that maybe Governor Baker is holding on to his Teflon reputation. So we thought we'd ask somebody to come run it down for us. Politico Playbook author Stephanie Murray. Stephanie, thanks for joining us again. Great to have you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with Kim Janey. There is a lot there, and I want to start with something that you reported in the Massachusetts Political Playbook today, which is that acting Mayor Kim Janey has tapped political operative Kirby Chandler to serve as her campaign manager. I almost expected you to have a headline over that that said, "She's running." That's a pretty serious sign, right, Stephanie?
That's right. And this is according to three sources, you know, in Boston around City Hall, who confirmed this to me, that the acting mayor has hired a campaign manager. She hasn't made any official announcements yet about whether she'll seek a full term as mayor in the fall. But, you know, all of the indicators are kind of shaping up to look that way. She's hired Doug Rubin and Northwind Strategies, a pretty well-known consultant in Boston, to handle the transition. And she's continued to raise money even after the transition from city council president to acting mayor took place. And she's acknowledged herself that she's going to make a decision in the coming weeks. But, you know, something that all of the other candidates running for mayor are paying attention to, and picking a campaign manager is a very significant step towards, you know, launching a full campaign.
She has done a lot in a little more than a week. Can you run us down some of the big steps she's taken or announcements she's made?
Sure. So acting Mayor Janey's already kind of flexing that muscle that comes with being the incumbent mayor, which will make her such a, you know, a significant force in the race if she decides to get in. She announced that the city of Boston's moving $50 million into the rental relief fund, something partially due to the American Rescue Plan that President Joe Biden just signed. She rolled out a new program to give free MBTA passes and blue bike passes to some workers in city neighborhoods in Boston, you know, kind of a free transportation pilot program. She's been involved in the vaccination effort. She's been, you know, touring schools, talking about school reopenings. So something that has been interesting to me at the beginning of the acting mayor's tenure is that she, in her Twitter bio even, it says not acting, doing. And so I think what she's trying to signal by, you know, doing all of this and rolling out her agenda is that she's not just going to be a placeholder for the former mayor while the race gets underway heading into the fall. She's really going to be an active leader in Boston.
So you mentioned the free MBTA pass program. Here she is during its unveiling on Monday.
By doing this, we hope to ensure that there will be more equity as we not get back to normal, but get to a more equitable Boston.
She has talked about equity when she joined us a couple of days after her swearing in. She said she was going to focus heavily on equity. And there she is referring to this as an equity program. It's also encroaching on the territory of another powerful candidate, Michelle Wu of the Boston City Council, who has been talking about free tea for a number of years. Are there twofers going on here, or do you see this more as right now acting Mayor Kim Janey is rolling out a set of initiatives and then comes maybe a campaign?
I think that, you know, the campaign is more of a matter of when and not if. And so everything that the acting mayor does over the next few months, you know, will be towards building a campaign platform. And being the acting mayor is a pretty good position to start in if you're running for a full term. That worked for the late mayor, Tom Menino, who was acting mayor, you know, before he won a full term, stayed in office for a long time. And this really has the potential to shake up the race. A bunch of candidates jumped in after it became clear that Mayor Walsh was leaving to go to the Department of Labor. But I should note that Michelle Wu and fellow city councilor Andrea Campbell were already in the race and were already kind of prepared to run against an incumbent. So it'll be really interesting. One thing that I might, you know, is what might be having the acting mayor kind of slow down and not jump in just yet is that once she gets in, everything that she does as the acting mayor is going to be judged, like you said, as a twofer, as the acting mayor and as a candidate in the race. And so that it's going to be kind of a different spotlight and a different environment once she does launch a campaign, which seems like she probably will.
Yeah, to that point, Michelle Wu announced all the way back in September, so months and months ago now. I want to pick up on the second part of what you said, Stephanie, which is that there is, it's not that races and campaigns aren't serious, but there's also serious business before Mayor Kim Janey, especially around the coronavirus. And there are going to be heavy decisions to make that will be focused on public health and not on campaigning. During a press conference yesterday, she mentioned she's considering more stringent coronavirus restrictions in Boston amid this continued rise in cases. Here she is.
I think it is troubling anytime we see an increase in activity, and so we will continue to watch closely so that we can adjust if we need to roll back some of the loosening of the restrictions that have already happened at the state level. Right now, I'm working closely with our chief to see if that is the direction we need to take.
So one of the things that was that Boston Mayor Marty Walsh often did was stay a step behind the state, so delay another step to reopening. Roughly, Boston is now on track with the state's reopening. As acting mayor, does she have all the power she needs to walk her own path on this? And I also wonder, you know, things like Fenway now being open, TD Garden, does it make it harder to walk things back than it was when Mayor Walsh was serving?
Well, this is sort of the catch-22 of being the acting mayor in the middle of a pandemic. You know, it gives you a leg up as the incumbent if you decide to run. But on the other hand, you're tasked with these really, really serious decisions. Mayor Walsh, when he was holding the city kind of a step back behind the state when it came to reopening, still, you know, had a lot of goodwill, was very popular. It'll be interesting to see because there's so much that goes into it. You know, if you put more restrictions on restaurants, then you're going to frustrate restaurant owners and people like that. If you start to close things that have been open, people feel like there's kind of a sense of normalcy coming back. It could frustrate them. But on the other hand, I mean, we just had the director of the CDC a few days ago say that she felt a sense of impending doom. Those were her words when it came to looking at the coronavirus numbers across the country. Massachusetts is not immune to that. Cases are rising here. And so the acting mayor is certainly in a tough and really pivotal position in responding to the pandemic.
We're talking to Stephanie Murray of the Massachusetts Political Playbook, doing a roundup of a lot of politics this week. Stephanie, let's turn to Jeffrey Turco in the 19th Suffolk District. Last time we talked with you, it was when he had won the primary for that special election. Tell us where we are.
So Jeffrey Turco, a Democrat from Winthrop and Revere, is going to head to the State House and fill the seat that used to be held by House Speaker Robert DeLeo for about three decades. He just left the State House late last year to go take a job at Northeastern. And this was a really interesting race. And so what happened here was most of the action was in the primary a few weeks ago, which is often the case in most elections in Massachusetts because the state is so blue. And this is an interesting political wrinkle because Turco is a Democrat, but he has, you know, expressed some anti-abortion views. He supported President Donald Trump in 2016. And so he was certainly, you know, the most conservative Democrat in that primary field at the beginning of March. But the other candidates who were kind of more to the left, more progressive, shared views on things like immigration and other things, they ended up splitting the vote, which helped Turco, propel to victory in that primary. And then it was pretty much no question that he was going to win the election on Tuesday. I think he got 57% of the vote, which is a pretty wide margin.
And will this, I don't want to say that any one elected official doesn't matter. Of course they do. But will this one change matter in the balance of the state legislature?
You know, the state legislature, especially the House, does tend to skew more moderate than, you know, kind of statewide politics, or, you know, the loudest voices are often the progressives, but the majority is usually quite moderate on Beacon Hill. So this will add to that. I think one thing that it did kind of contribute to is just the frustration among progressives to get some wins in Massachusetts. They were successful in 2018 in a few state legislative races and, you know, higher offices than that. But in 2020 in the fall, most of the progressive Democratic challengers to state house incumbents lost. And this Turco winning this race, they viewed as kind of another a loss in the spring. And I should note that it was a pretty quick and low turnout election because Speaker DeLeo left in late December. It triggered a special election that only lasts a few weeks. And turnout is usually quite low in those elections, which it was this time around.
All right, so let's turn our attention to Governor Baker. There's a new poll out, and his approval ratings are back up. The poll is Suffolk Boston Globe survey. It's up from a UMass poll earlier this month by 20 points. And that was after that poll had showed that the governor's approval ratings had dropped 26 points. So right now, in answer to the question, overall, do you approve or disapprove of the job Charlie Baker is doing as governor, 67% say they approve. What do you make of that? And then we will go into some of the other questions from that poll, too.
This is a really fascinating poll. And what I think it shows is that now that the vaccine rollout has smoothed out, people are getting their vaccinations, eligibility has opened up to more people, voters are giving Baker more of a benefit of the doubt for how he's handled the pandemic. You know, just looking through these numbers, he has a 67% approval rating overall, but when it comes to how he handled the pandemic, he's at 71%, which is, you know, much higher than that UMass poll and a poll from the COVID States Project, which is a collaboration of a few different universities that are studying how governor's approval ratings and all sorts of other things have changed over the course of the pandemic. That had him lower too. So it seems like now that the vaccines are more on track than they were at the end of February, this has changed. And that tracks kind of with the polling. Those polls we saw from a few weeks ago, they were conducted at the beginning of March. And this poll we're talking about now, conducted at the end of March.
Although there is still a gap, 71% approval rating overall on his handling of the pandemic, but 58% approval rating on his handling of vaccine distribution.
Exactly. And I think that shows how much it really dented the governor because, you know, some of the most high profile failures of his administration have occurred during this vaccine rollout. I think the one that we all remember is when the vaccine website crashed on that first day that people were supposed to log on and book appointments. They went to click and all they saw was an orange octopus with a question mark over its head and no way to book the appointments. And that, you know, he took a real political hit for that because as somebody who pitched himself as a good manager when he ran for governor and as governor, the vaccine rollout wasn't managed very well.
In a sentence, is the denting, to use your word, enough that you expect to see a big governor's race this next time?
That is a great question. I think you can expect to see a big governor's race no matter what. Governor Baker hasn't said that he plans to run for a third term yet. It's something that he's thinking about. And I would say don't hold your breath. I went back and looked at when he announced for when he was going to run for his second term, and that was all the way in November. So if he sticks to that schedule, we still have a few months to go. But Ben Downing, a candidate for governor, is already in. Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz, state senator, is eyeing it. Mm-hmm. And then everyone's wondering what Attorney General Maura Healey is going to do.
All right. But no breath holding. That's Massachusetts political playbook. Right. Author Stephanie Murray. Stephanie, thanks.
My pleasure.